Our second reading today is taken from Luke chapter 4. We're picking that reading up at verse 14 through to verse 18 or 19. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 19. Let us hear God's word. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And so he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Let us pray together. Father, we pray this morning that as you anoint the teaching of your word, that you would speak to us. Lord, we want to have receptive hearts. It's my prayer now that you anoint your servant with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I don't know what your belief about the Bible is. I presume that because you're here in church, that you are sympathetic to its teaching. I know for some, if not for many or all, Jesus is transforming or has transformed your life. But I wonder what you think about what we have just read. Think of the words and the person who was saying them. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went throughout all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. In verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Here was Jesus Christ, born into this world with a distinct and unique mission. He was the one who was desiring to find the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. He was the fulfillment of the promise way back made by the Father that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Here was a world that Jesus was coming into, personally coming into, that was broken, that was marred, was damaged beyond repair. And I don't need to convince you about that. When you turn on the television, when you lift the newspaper, when you begin to read or watch or listen, you can see the devastation in our world, the corruption, the pain, the inhumanity towards individuals, those who have been corrupted by power, those who have been overpowered by materialism, those who are so obsessed with moving forward in life, they have no concern or regard for others. We can see the huge pressures that people are under in our world. The financial strains. The domestic strife. We know this world is a difficult place to live. And we know the reason for it is sin. Both personal and collective. We have been part of the world's problem, but not its solution. And in that brokenness that pained the Father, He sent His Son. And His Son came in fulfillment of that promise. And He spent some time in preparation for when He would begin His public ministry. But before He could even do that, He had to spend some time in the desert, tempted of the devil to give up on this mission before it began. And He refused to do it. And why did He refuse to do that? Well, because He loved His Father. But He also loved you. And He loves me. And He loves this world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And He was doing just that. And when Jesus stood up that day, filled with the Spirit, He had a message to proclaim. A message of hope, a message of transformation, a message that changes our world. It is the good news of the gospel. I cannot understand at times why we seem so downhearted when we come to church. I cannot understand at times why there's not joy in our praise and our worship. Why, when we engage with people in shops and in factories and in our workplaces, that we don't have a smile. Regardless of the pressure that we're under, regardless of the trials and temptations that we go through, we have a wonderful Savior who has a wonderful message. And it's contained in these small, short verses. The hope to nations, the hope in your life, the hope in my life today. Let's read it, let's savor it, let's enjoy it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Wasn't for the wealthy, wasn't for those with prestige and esteem who find themselves independent of others and independent of God. It was for the poor, the vulnerable, the needy. It was for the weak, those who recognized their sinfulness, those who recognized that they had transgressed. And in the midst of all of that, He says, this gospel is to the poor in spirit. And what has He sent me to do? What has God sent me to do? What is the Spirit sending me to do? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's what He has sent me to do, to heal the brokenhearted. There are many brokenhearted people in our world today. Their hearts have been ripped apart by this planet that they live in, by the pressures that they're under, by the way that they've been treated. Perhaps victims in their own childhood of the abuses of others. They have had terrible experiences in growing up. They never received the love from parents that they would have expected or deserved. They found themselves struggling, even in the educational system. It was difficult, perhaps, to please others. And your achievements always seemed to fall short. You struggle. And your heart is heavy. And it's broken. Not only by the sins of others, but by your own personal sin. You have done things that you should never have done. And you're left depressed in spirit and in soul and in heart. And you wonder, is there a cure for it? Because you've talked to everybody. Everybody who could help has failed. Their words, whilst pleasant and well-meaning, have always fallen short. They've never given you the joy or the satisfaction that you desired or seek. And you worry that you're going to remain broken for the rest of your life. Who can repair you in this broken world and with your personally broken life? Jesus can. He was sent to do it. He said, I will heal the brokenhearted. And what is it that most brokenhearted people need most? Is it more interventions? Is it better science? Is it better diagnosis? Is it a better world? No, it's a better friend. A friend that can stick closer than even a brother. A friend that transcends all our biological relationships. Because some of those are broken too. We look to marriage and to earthly relationships for the fulfillment that we seek. We think that in some way, if we're married or have a wife or have children, that we'll be happy, but that eludes us. We think if we have finances or wealth or prestige or well-respected by others, that we'll be satisfied, but we still remain dissatisfied. Why? Because the one true friend that we need, we reject or we overlook. But the one who comes, who can heal our broken heart, is Jesus himself. The friendship that he offers will be the friendship that changes your life. Because that friendship never disappears. It is eternal. Every other friendship will fade. You know and I know that that's true. We had friends in childhood. Some of them now are gone. We had close friends when we were growing up through school, but circumstances and a change of location meant that we unintentionally drifted apart. Then we fell in love. We married. But we know that it's not permanent, that in our broken world, people are taken from us. But there's one friendship that is eternal today, never changes. It's the friendship with Jesus. Can never be taken away from us if we embrace him as our Lord and Savior. And so he comes to heal your broken heart forever. And he draws alongside you. And he remains with you. He sent him to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. Do you know sin holds us as a prisoner? Until Jesus releases us. It traps us in this broken world and broken life. It is a prison without bars, but it's a greater prison than some of those behind bars. Because we don't have a key that unlocks the door. And we cannot shorten the sentence. Only Jesus can. And he knows that the people that he was visiting, that he walked with, that he talked with, that he shared with, were prisoners. They could not escape this world or the damage that it caused, no matter who they consulted. You see, there's a penalty to sin. And that penalty is that we're in a spiritual prison. Unable to free ourselves unless we find the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a prisoner to your sin? Have you ever repented of it? Or does it haunt you every time you try to put your head on the pillow at night? Are you continually condemned by the life that you've led? Are you envious of others who have embraced Christ, but you haven't had the courage to do it yourself? Then you're in prison today. It's one of your own making. But you don't have the power to release yourself from it. And you don't have the key. But Jesus has. Let him unlock your heart. Let him unlock the potential of your life. Let him allow you to flourish. To be free at last. To accept him. And walk with him. And talk with him. And enjoy him forever. Come out of your prison and find the freedom that Jesus offers you. For it's a wonderful life with Jesus. He heals your broken heart and he opens the prison door. And he gives recovery of sight to the blind. That's what we are. I know myself, I've started to wear glasses. It's only over the last 3 or 4 years that I needed glasses to read. And if I don't have them, I can't see the page. But it's got worse. And it was painfully brought home to me when I was out walking the dog with my wife. We have a dog, he's unfortunately called Jackson. I didn't choose his name, but we were walking him. And he's a beagle, and he doesn't like to stay on the lead, but he's also a very active beagle. So if another dog is coming, he tends to bark quite a bit. And I said to my wife, I said, give me the lead, because she was walking him at the time. I said, give me the lead. She says, why? I says, give me the lead. I'll take him. I said, those two dogs that are coming, I said, it's going to be vicious. She said, Alistair, that's not dogs. I said, pardon? He said, those are two people. He said, Alistair, I think you need to go to Specsavers. Just upgrade a little to bifocal and you'll be all right. Some of us naturally begin to suffer eyesight loss. We can't see the way that we used to. But friends, when we're born into this world, we can't see at all. We do not know anything about God, for we're spiritually blind. We cannot see him right. We cannot make out his definition. We cannot find home. We are grappling about and groping about in the dark. And that's what religion is. It's an attempt to give us human eyesight. But religion falls painfully short. Look at how many religions there are in the world trying to define God. You see, we have this vacuum in our life. We need something to fill it. Everything's distorted. We have no clear definitions about anything. That is until Jesus came. The perfect revelation of the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. You need not look any longer. I am here to give you perfect eyesight. I'm here to give you spiritual insight. And it will come the moment that you embrace me. And stop trying to squint at this world for a solution. But come to the Savior. And find that he gives you the eyes to see. And it changes how you see the world. Suddenly, everything becomes clearer. You understand your place in it now. You understand what God is saying to you, what he wants to do in your life. You appreciate that whilst you go through troubles and pains and difficulties, God's desire is never to harm you or to hurt you, but to befriend you and to give you courage and strength to fight the battles that you need to face this side of eternity. You begin to understand. You gain perspective. He gives you the sight to see. It's a gift. Because if we didn't have this gift, it would depend on our abilities, our intellect. That's what I love about the free grace of God that comes to us. That's why I love he comes to the weak and the vulnerable and the poor in spirit, because they recognize their need of him. If it wasn't for Jesus, I could never find my way home because I don't have the capacity to do it. But Jesus gives it to us as his free gift out of love. Perhaps you will have eyes to see him today and a heart to respond to him. And finally, to set at liberty all those who are oppressed. You can be wonderfully free. Wonderfully free. Are you at liberty today? Do you enjoy your life? Now, that doesn't mean that everything makes you happy in life. We've got to confront sickness and disease as part of this world's brokenness. No matter what happens to us, that will come one day come. Many Christians go through financial difficulty and strains. They know what it is to have domestic pressures, to worry about their sons and daughters, to be concerned about their fathers and mothers. They know what it is to have to go into work some days and wish they could have stayed at home or find another job. They too have all the same trials and temptations like everybody else. But the difference is that when the Savior is there, we're okay. Doesn't matter what we go through, as long as He goes through it with us, because He sets us free and with something to look forward to. This world was never our home, but He was preparing us for another world. That lovely little verse that I read with such passion at every Christian funeral. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, this Jesus who came, who is in love with you, wants so much for you. He wants to heal you of your eyesight problems and give you spiritual eyesight. He knows that it isn't heart disease that will kill you, but the condition of your heart. And in your broken heart, you need a friend, someone who loves you, and He wants to love you and for you to understand the depth of that love. He wants to set you free from the penalty of your sin and establish an eternal relationship with His Father in heaven. Why did He hang on the cross? Because He loved you. He was able to rise from the grave. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. Why did He endure the cross? Hebrews says, for the joy set before Him. What was that joy that was set before Him? So that you would go home to your rightful place with the Father. That you would go home and to be with Him for all eternity. In John chapter 17, Jesus said, I long that they be where I am. And He longs for your return to the place that He is preparing for you. A wonderful place. But here's the point. If you ask me honestly, what is heaven like? I've got to say to you, I don't really care much what it looks like. Because I'm going to heaven not to find my room, but to find the Savior. It's a big difference. Do you remember the Ideal Home exhibition? Probably still runs. I haven't been there for years. And I don't know whether they still have the show house the way that they used to, but everyone loved to go to see the show house. I remember my own parents, when I was 7, 8 years of age, they had a stand at the Ideal Home exhibition. And my mom wanted to see the show house. And it was a big house erected in the middle. And you went and you walked around all the rooms and you could see everything that every person would have desired in a house. And all the modern contraptions that you could think of. But it wasn't a home. It was a house. What makes a house a home? The person you share it with. That's what makes it a home. And that's what makes you prepared to live anywhere. If you're living with the one that you love. You don't have to build bigger and better as long as you're with the one you love. After a while, You forget about the furniture and the color of the wallpaper. You forget about the fabric of the building because you love the one that you're sharing it with. One day, as believers, we'll go home. And I'll not care what my room's like. But I know the Savior well enough that it'll be like a room like no other. Because I'm sharing heaven with the Savior. And what was it he said in that verse? It just is so wonderful. I will come again and receive you unto myself. He doesn't even mention heaven at this point, even though he's gone to prepare it for us. The first thing that he wants to do is to take us onto himself because he loves us. Now, if that's the sort of Savior that has gone to prepare a place for you, who cannot wait for your homecoming, then do you not think he'll walk with you until you get there? Do you not think he'll love you every step of your earthly journey until you arrive home? You are free like no one else because your relationship with him cannot be overturned or overwhelmed by sickness, disease, and death, financial crisis, or heartache or trouble. Because that very same person said, cast all your care on me, because I care for you. And if he cares for you as much as he does, then why worry about tomorrow, what it will bring? Because he will be there with you. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that the amazing grace that we're going to sing about now wouldn't just be letters or words on a page, but they'd be written in our heart. You have an amazing grace. And every day we wake, we think about it. And every night we go to sleep, we thank God for it. And we go to sleep and rest well, because he who watched over Israel neither slumbered nor slept. And if he'll do that for a nation, he will do it for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.